Item number one is an application for subdivision, rezoning, and variance for the south side of Auger Avenue across from Gagnon Street under files DASZ2 of 2009 and DAV 102801 2009D. Mr. Chairman, we do have the applicant present.
Okay, if I'd like to call Neil Hebert up, please. Legacy Homes, I believe it is. Yeah, maybe I'll get you just move to the end because just to record for recording purposes, unless you're there, we won't be able to hear what you have to say.
Okay, great.
For later purpose, thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Obviously, as you heard, I'm here to present this proposal on behalf of Legacy Homes. If I could just start, I'd like to do a brief history of the property. For those who don't know, I've done some research with the city, and it's got a kind of a colorful history that I guess it's worth noting in some ways. The property was owned originally by the St. Charles Catholic Church that's adjacent to the property. Approached the city a couple times to buy it. Eventually they sold it to a home developer called Best Homes in 1978. Three applications later to develop it was met with some pretty tense opposition from the local residents. So at that point the owner who had purchased it filed suit against the city for a $400,000 lawsuit. Thompson, Dorfman, Sweatman, T.L. Thomas, I believe, basically said that being able to purchase that property with the idea of developing it residentially and then not being allowed to by the city, I believe the exact quote in the law document amounted to expropriation without remediation is what the quote was. So eventually, and I just heard some of this secondhand, some of this is in the file, the city did reacquire it, obviously. I'd heard that the price was around $450, but I don't know that, and I'm not sure it's germane to the conversation, but that was the previous history with that property. Some of it, I believe, did get divided, and some of it, obviously, now is the city is looking at keeping. Mr. Councillor Norman probably knows more about the more recent stuff than I do, but I believe the decision to look at it being surplus was addressed now because the same St. Charles Church that sold it back in 78 had approached the city about acquiring some property behind the church on the river to do assisted living or something. It was my understanding when told that that was, you know, designated parks and not likely to have a good likelihood to proceed. They inquired about the property they originally sold beside there, and I believe their interest was to purchase it off the city for a dollar. It was then kicked, kicked over to the area of the city that determines whether or not it is actually surplus, and it was put up for sale to determine whether or not there was a market value for it, and if there was a market value, what that was. And we stepped in and made an offer that it's just under the $600,000 mark, so we obviously feel there's a value there. As far as what we've come up with now, I mean, if we made a mistake in this process, I think it was probably that I should have consulted maybe with Councillor Nordman earlier in the process, because our first meeting we had proposed sort of a multifamily, three-story type thing, or single-family homes. A lot of people there was a lot of people obviously in opposition, as I think you'll see here, and there was a lot of people who supported things, and the people who supported development wanted to see something that was 55 plus friendly. And I did get around to meeting with Councillor Nordman shortly after that first consultation, and without sharing really anything that I had got for feedback at that first meeting, he had made it pretty clear that he felt that 55 plus made sense, and it really echoed a lot of what we got out of that first consultation. So we kind of threw out our originally two plans and drawings and just kind of started from from scratch again, and then came up with this proposal, which has been tweaked a couple of times just to meet some of the planners' concerns, but originally we proposed 24 units. It's now down to 20 units, mostly in working in conjunction with Noah, the planner. He had some opinions about what side yard should be. And because it is, the front yard, or what's considered the front yard isn't necessarily what, acts as the front yard. So we've got side yards that are much bigger than what they need to be, and then we had some backyards that were maybe a little smaller than what they should have been. So what we've got now is the 10 common units.
You don't have any copies that we can...
You know what? I do. I can... just bear with me 1 second. And these have been tweaked slightly from our original proposal, but... Everything is essentially the same. Versus the, I haven't got the new drawings and answers, but revised setup. Okay.
So these are the same, basically the same drawings you're saying.
Basically the same, except if you look at that one that actually has the layout of the units, there's two less units now. We've scaled that back, and that was 24, I think that's originally an application.
24 in here?
Yeah, and this one's down to 20. We've taken two units or four dwellings out.
Which two did you take out? The ones...
around here, we had another one in here, so where we have eight around here, we had nine originally to allow us some wider side yards. And then originally we had one, two, and then a third one in here, but we've taken out this back one, again, just to create more side yards, backyards, that type of thing. And again, most of those changes, just working with the planner, he thought to make something that was, that was more palatable for the local concerns. That was the way to go. So we just rejigged it, to some degree on that.
Is that the drawing there?
That's the actual one there. That one's correct.
So what's that little thing in the corner there, in the middle?
Right here.
No, down.
Right there.
What is that?
All this is a proposed clubhouse. Just somewhere with some washrooms, a little park. Somewhere they can go and, hang out and meet your friends and maybe a treadmill and that type of thing.
Is this all ownership or is it rentals?
It's all ownership.
Condos.
Yeah. Don't have a solid condominium fee lined up yet, but it would be under $200 a month, I think, would be the end result. Under $200 a month condo fee, I anticipate, when it's all said and done. Again, this is a lot different than what we originally envisioned, but, now that seeing it now and having kind of been swayed this way, I think there's a lot of reasons why this does make more sense and why maybe the counselor had it on, nailed a little better than I did. Number one, I think it's the least invasive for the surrounding homes. We're not building anything multi-level. In fact, these bungalows, never mind the fact that, if it's single family, you can go two-story, but these bungalows will be probably lower than most new homes you see now, strictly for the fact that when you're catering to 55-plus, you tend to want to engineer them a little lower, less steps in and out and that type of thing. So you're going to go with very minimal. You're not going to do the raised bungalows that tend to be in vogue now. So these things aren't going to be towering over anybody's fence, and you're not going to be staring at anybody's backyard.
So what is the height on?
Well, I mean, I'd anticipate, I think if you need egress out of any basement bedrooms you want to do, and we certainly want to leave the option of developing the basement to put an extra bedroom in, I think you need a minimum of 24 inches on the window. So, I mean, we're roughly got to be at least 6 inches above that, so probably about 30 inches outside of existing or positive grade.
Plus the peak, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, no, and then plus, obviously, the 8-foot wall height plus your roof height, so... But as far as typically nowadays, it's not uncommon to see bungalows that are that are 4 feet off the ground at the foundation with 3 feet tall windows. We're definitely not going upwards. Like I say, we want to minimize the amount of steps in and out of the home and just try to make it as 55 plus friendly as possible.
What is the square footage on the proposed?
The proposed drawing's around 1,200. Do we see tweaking that at all? Not necessarily. I mean, perhaps we would, but I mean, it wouldn't get over 1250. I don't anticipate. The floor plan we got now is quite fine for our purposes. And like I say, it's just around 1200.
Can you
continue on with your presentation, unless you have any questions at this point, gentlemen. Councilor Rubin, Councilor Corso.
We're just looking at the drawing. The drawing on the back here, Mr. Hebert, looks like a bungalow. And on the drawing back here, it looks like it's a two-story.
Sorry?
Well, this drawing here appears, this looks like it's a two-story.
It's, you know, the design person in the drawing, he envisions some windows, like a separate roof line here. It's not necessarily going to be exact like that, but it's certainly a bungalow, but he's put some extra windows in there to kind of give it a bit more of a...
Okay, so this is...
Designer's liberty, this the bungalow style, that would be a floor plan.
Okay.
Just a question to our administration. In terms of the streets, the street that's around, you know, a regular house that's in that area, what is the height that you could build to?
35 feet.
It is 35 feet.
Yeah, most of it's R1M,
okay.
Which is actually the lowest height restriction for a residential zone is 35.
We'd maybe be 19, 20 feet. We'd be well below that.
Again, so that's one of the things that we feel that has going for it. It's like I said, nobody's going to be staring at anybody's backyards. It's actually, if you look at, you know, I think one of the other things that's going for it, obviously, is from a density perspective, it's very close to the single-family homes you got there. I mean, I think in the report it says that the single-family homes are roughly, 5,000 square feet per unit. We're 4,830, I believe, something like that. So, I mean, essentially, this is almost single-family density. I believe we could probably apply for something in the 80, 90 unit range and still meet the criteria of the zoning clause. So we're much below that, and again, not pushing the density envelope to any degree.
That's about what the zoning would be.
Minimum lot areas would be about 5,000 square feet comparable. And right next to it, as the applicant just spoke there, 5,000 square feet, the lot sizes. If you took the average lot area of each of the dwellings proposed, it would be 4,930. So it's very comparable in terms of money. And less dense than the multiple family across the street, which is about one unit per every.
Finally, I think this thing makes sense strictly because it just does fit all the criteria of what you want in Plan Winnipeg for an infill type of development. I mean, it's not extremely dense. It's not going to tax the outstanding services. It's not it doesn't have any of those things that really should get people really concerned. You know, the street that's feeding it, There was no request by Public Works for a traffic report. We did one anyway that basically said it's negligible, but it was small enough that they said there was no impact. St. Charles, the street that likely feeds it, is reasonably busy, but again, not something that can handle a few more cars. It is a bus route and whatnot already, so it's a fairly substantial street. So I just think that from a criteria's perspective, this meets everything, and we've done everything we can to make it the most palatable final product that we can put out there.
Okay. Now, just in the middle there, so it kind of there's a circular thing. Those are two other suites. Is that right?
These ones are facing each other here, and then these ones back onto the parking, refuse collection area, the proposed clubhouse, and these ones all front the feeding loop or it's public-private drive, I guess.
Yeah, it's a potential kind of a one-way type of loop.
Yeah, just we'd likely make it just one way right around. We would fence the whole area, so there would only be two points, of traffic entry, again, one in, one out. Totally
independent development, basically.
What about the landscaping? How do you see this blending into the community? Like, what is the landscaping plan? Are you doing anything with shrubs?
shrubbery or...
Yeah, we've got... These are actually... and they're hard to see from back there, but these are all trees. So, I mean, we plant some trees along the back.
Those are existing trees or those are...
No, these are... There's basically no trees on the property now. There may be a few, but nothing substantial. So they just, you know, put some perimeter trees in, a few trees along the recreation area just to try to... you know, try to give it a little bit of separation between it and the surrounding area. As far as landscaping goes, you know, we would swale it a little bit. Nothing, you know, no big rolling hills. Just swale it. Try to take the, you know, the water out to the, you know, the proper areas as far as drainage goes without putting, you know, pressure on any of the surrounding homes, obviously. And, you know, some independent street lights and that type of thing for, you know, just for safety concerns. You know, that's really about it. Again, nice fence compound.
Questions, Councillor Clement or Councillor?
Well, you're more familiar with street lights. In this type of project, for instance, the similar one that has been often compared to this is at Barker and Roblin.
Yeah, I don't believe they have any interior.
They don't have any interior lights.
I don't think so. I think they have one. By the interior, but it's
so have you got a guess how many lights you'd be?
You know what, I did do a little bit of research with Noah on it, and I believe the code might have changed since when the Barker one, I think that was done in the 80s perhaps, if I remember right.
Late 80s
maybe. You know, I think we would probably be required to put no more than two or three in. You know, we would probably, you know, try to stagger them, maybe four or six, something that, you know, just gives a nice light area. Obviously, again, you know, when you're looking to track that 55 plus demographic, you know, lighting and whatnot gives you a certain amount of security and a certain amount of safety. So, you know, it would probably be in our best interest, the developer, to do something that was a little bit, you know, a little bit brighter.
Councillor Clement, did you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Hubert, just out of curiosity, this interior road, what was the purpose of having one entrance in and one entrance out?
Well, it
as
just,
opposed to two-way traffic.
You know what, we have it.
Sorry.
We haven't stated absolutely that that's the way it should proceed, and really it can go either way, but it was suggested to me by somebody that, you know, perhaps it would be less of a concern traffic-wise if you had, you know, everything feeding in one way and coming out the other way. And there is the one where it's coming in there, where you're coming out, you're not quite, but you're almost facing across from the streets going the other way, and there's a, again, as he said, a multifamily condominium across from the one drive a little bit, and not that there's a lot of traffic, but it just might put a little bit of ease on traffic if you did make it one way, but it's not something that that absolutely has to be done that way.
And width-wise, the road itself is?
The road itself is it's wider than the public drive allows. I think it's, let me just get the number off here so I can tell you. I believe, you know, it's not on this drawing for some reason, but I believe it was at 20 or 24 feet.
It's got to be 24, it says.
24?
Here. Yeah, sorry, 24. Yeah. Actually, I could have looked at this one. It said it's 24.
That's the typical street width. That's what I was curious about the question earlier.
Yeah, and again, that doesn't have to be. It just, you know, it might make a little bit easier traffic, but. You know, for the little bit of traffic that's going there, I don't think it's certainly a prerequisite that has to happen either way.
So once again, your proposed plan is to have fencing around the whole.
Yeah, we would fence the whole development again. Just have the two entrance exit ways. Likely, you know, with a security camera at each entrance, just to, again for ease of concern for that demographic, but. But you know, nice tasteful fence, you know, some cultured stone and wood, and you know, nothing that would clash with the surrounding neighborhood.
Now, and this property is how big is the lot of land? It's 2.49,
I believe.
Right, so it's the actual city property was it just under 3? Was there been any discussion about a pathway at all in terms?
Yeah, I did speak to Councillor Clement briefly about, you know, perhaps in Lewis and dedication, we'd be willing to, or sorry, Councillor Norman, about doing a obviously we could do a pathway at a pretty reasonable price when we're in there. Maybe putting a pathway in a little riverside park in that the residents could enjoy, and certainly not limited to the new residents, but the people who are there existing. There's nothing on that property currently. It's basically just an open field, and we did hear some concerns about people that like to walk their dog around there and that type of thing. And if there was a pathway where you could take the dog down towards the river, it would be a nice alternative to just walking around in that empty field.
What is the length? What is the distance from Mojave?
Well, if you go to here,
how long that is?
I just have to. I've walked it. I haven't measured it, but you're probably roughly in the 350, 400 yards.
We own all that.
Yeah.
And who owns this?
We do. That's the balance of the.
Because they only took
a portion of it. So he's talking about developing it on city land.
On city land, yeah.
You also, did you have any questions right now, Councillor Nordman?
No, that's good.
Obviously, there's a lot of local residents here. So, can you explain to us what your public consultation process was like, and I guess that kind of what the concerns of the residents. I'm sure we'll hear from them. If it looks like a lot of them are in opposition.
Right.
And change the plan. Is that, I guess, to do with
their concerns? Yeah, we had our first consultation. We flyered. In the neighborhood of 200 to 250 homes, everything up and down every street around there. I did miss the condominium across the street. I just thought it was all rental, but it was all owners. And my mistake, I should have hit that, but it got out that it was the meeting going on. I guess the mistake we had in the first go around, or if we did make a mistake there, we wanted to have it somewhere that was close and convenient, so we chose Glendale Golf Course. We had two Tuesdays available, and when it got right down to it, my father passed away of cancer, so I got limited into one Tuesday, and it was the election Tuesday. We still had we had over 70 people at the first meeting, probably representing about 30-plus homes, probably had about another 20 calls. And there's lots of opposition. There's lots of people who, there's people there that see it as a field that, that's been there a long time, and they should get to continue and enjoy it. And I can't... I can't really do much about. Obviously, I'm not in the business of buying fields. If there's no, profit or future in it, so I can't really do much about maintaining the field. All we've tried to do, and if for whoever was at that first consultation that saw the townhouse style condominiums we had proposed, and even the single family stuff, it would be hard to say that we weren't somewhat swayed by that first consultation, because this was never on the board at the first consultation. It's changed, a 180 since then. We did certainly take the feedback from those who were supportive and wanted to just sway our direction. Again, Councillor Nordman also was probably a part of that with some of his feedback. And at the second meeting, we had already, we proposed a second meeting because, again, some of the residents had said, oh, it was election night, you would have got a better turnout if it was another night. So we posted that one, sent emails out to everybody, left me an email address, phoned anybody who gave me a phone number. We had a second meeting in Assiniboine West Community Club about a month later, maybe 6 or 8 weeks later, again, with now this being more the focus. And that one was kind of sparsely attended. I think there was, I'm just going off memory, but 12, 16 people maybe. Again, mostly in opposition. We've had lots of voices support for it. I've got a file with 20 or 30 people have signed off in support. I've got phone numbers and emails for people that are down south right now that are interested in buying units if it goes up. So there has been a lot of support, but obviously, in your experience, the opposition tends to be a little bit more mobilized and vocal than the support does often, and I think this will be the case here.
The second meeting that you had after the election night one, it was similar to this. Like you said, there's some changes
right.
In terms of the amount. Instead of 24, there's 20.
Yes, yeah.
But that kind of plan was given out to the general
public. Basically the same folders that you have in front of you were dropped off to all the residents that left me their addresses. And yeah, it's changed from the 24 to 20, but it was, it was this kind of format that was proposed.
Any other questions? Okay. Now, Neil, is there anything else you want to add? Because you can make your presentations here. We'll call you back up to your closing arguments, I guess, if you will. But you can't present any new information. So if there's anything new that you want to put on the record beforehand, just let us know, because you won't be able to do it unless a question's asked of you in your second round here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if I missed anything, and I think I've hit all the major brush strokes.
In particular, did the church have any comment to you?
When it gets down to that, I mean, I can see already there's a big pocket opposition from one family that's out here in droves, and they're very active in that church. And, had the church purchased it for a dollar and was going to develop it, I don't think you'd see these people out here. They were the same ones that we had an open forum with on CGOB, and one of the elders from the church was on CGOB kind of speaking out about how great this piece of property was. But, again, they kind of initiated the whole, is it something the city could sell as surplus, when they, approached them about buying it. So there are some people with a bit of a mandate there that I think that are going to come up. And then there's some people here that I recognize from the meetings that are just local residents that would like to see it remain a field. And like I say, with those people that aren't, disingenuous or don't have a vested interest, I really can't do much, to placate them. But
okay, thank you very much. Okay. We will call you back after we hear people all in favor as well as people in opposition. And so at that point, that's your opportunity to respond. So if I could ask you, maybe take a bit of notes for any objections that people might have, and we'll ask you some questions on that if you can address them. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Okay, other people that are in support, Henry Rothenmer, probably saying it wrong, 392 St. Charles Street. You registered in support, sir? Okay, you don't want to speak? You're in opposition?
I'm in opposition.
Okay, I've got you registered in support here. Suzanne at 437 Auger. Susanna, are you here? Would you like to speak in favor? Okay, so you registered in support? Okay, I've got in support here as well. So, and I'm assuming your husband, Alfred, is probably in opposition as well? Okay. Is there anyone here else that would like to speak in support of the application before us? There's no one else that would like to speak in favor? Okay. People in opposition. First one is B.R. Mackey from 371 Overdale Street. Would you
Maybe
like to?
We've got a spokesperson.
Sorry?
Maybe they have a spokesperson.
Well, we could see. Is there a spokesperson from your group? Thank you, Bill. No one? Okay. So what I'll call it is I'll call it some of the names. B.R. Mackey, once again, from 371 Overdale Street. So you don't wish to speak, just register in opposition. Is that...
I don't wish to speak. No.
Okay, just in opposition. Fair enough.
Overdale.
It's in my word. That's right.
Sunday,
Miles Brook at 342 St. Charles Street.
Yeah.
Miles, would you like to speak? If I could get you just to go right up to the front, just because we need to record your voice for the public hearing process. Yeah.
No, back in the day there, probably four
of seats or
5 years ago.
Your name and your address.
Oh, sorry. Miles Brook, 342 St. Charles Street. I realized back in the day there when, I don't know, it's probably 6-7 years ago there, the city always put a rink in the back, so that that field was used constantly in the winter from the family dwellings that were kicking around out there for the kids. And then finally that was put to a halt for whatever reason. Summertime, that field's used constantly. That's our green space. That's our backdrop. We've been there for, in my dwelling for 13 years, and I know there's been other families that have been around a lot longer. And, it's just, that's our fixture. If you guys were in our situation, you put the shoe on the other foot, I'm sure you guys would be putting up the same kind of fight for this to go in. That's basically all I got to say.
Any questions, Councillor Darman or Councillor Clement? So if I hear what you're saying, it's not the development of what it looks like.
It's you just don't want the park or the.
Yeah, we don't want development. Yeah, is that just, you know, it's fine the way it is, okay. Kind of thing. You know.
Anything else to add, sir?
No, that's about it right now.
Okay, thank you, sir. Next one is it Lyle Mullen at, I guess you're right across the street. Is it 480 OJ?
Yes.
Suite 115? Great, thank you, sir. State your name and your address for the record, if you please.
My name is Lyle Mullen.
Okay.
I live at 17540 OJ in Downs Village. I've lived in Winnipeg since 1966, and I have to say I love the city. It's the first time I've been to City Hall, and I didn't come to City Hall to fight. As I hear many people are saying they're coming to fight, I'm not coming to fight, but I do have a vision, and my vision is that Old Lakefield remain as it is, an open green space, a place for recreation. As you know, we have the church. There's a school across from the church. There's a golf club. And there's Downs Village. And there's condos on Auger. There's all kinds of traffic, as it is now on St. Charles. It's a very busy street. It's not that wide of a street. You have to be very careful driving down when it's busy, and it's busy many times. And so my vision is that this remain a green area. It's congested enough. You look at the Downs Village, how many people live in Downs Village? The traffic from there. Plus we have traffic coming off of the perimeter that comes buzzing off the perimeter through our area. And so my vision is, and I'm sure the vision of, if you ask for a show of hands, it would be a very high percentage. Saying, you know, we're congested enough. And I'm all for a building, I'm all for expanding, but not in this case, not in our area. So that's all I have to say.
Any questions, Councillor Nordman? Or
you're aware that the golf course is a private enterprise?
I'm sure of that, but there's a lot of traffic coming to the golf course, all kinds of traffic.
But you're including that as part of your green space, and it's really course? Not open to the public.
It's not open to the public.
That's
no.
Correct.
No.
Okay.
It's a beautiful area. I say leave it as it is.
Okay. And it sounds like just there's some concerns on the traffic flows. That they did have a traffic study.
A lot of the traffic, yes. And I love the green space.
Okay. Because yeah. It did look like there was a traffic study that was incorporated.
Well, it's going to add to it.
Okay.
It's bound to add to it. Not just the people that live there. It's the people who visit who live there. We have to look at that, too. That's another aspect of increased traffic.
Thank you for your presentation, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Tracy Allen at 480 OJ as well. I believe you're registered in opposition. Would you care to speak, or do you just want to register in opposition? Okay, ma'am. This is Melvina Boehm, I believe, is at the same, at 392 St. Charles Street.
I'm in opposition.
Opposition?
I'm
not prepared to speak. Okay, great. The next one is Alex Boyd at 322 St. Charles Street.
Yes.
Alex, would you care to speak, Alex? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
My name's Alec Boyd. I live at 362 St. Charles Street. I've been there since 1968.
Go ahead, sir.
Now, I've heard some of the remarks made by the developer, and few of them were not quite correct. This is my fourth appearance here before council and other bodies, and it was for the same piece of land that we're back here again. This started in 1976, and there's a whole list of development people that have made application for it. Now, for those, I don't know how many is here that don't know where this area is, but it's an island bordered by Portage Avenue on the north, the Glendale on the east, Glendale Golf Club, the Assiniboine River on the south, and the Perimeter Highway on the west. Now, this is the children that are in this area. All the recreation lands are north across six lanes of Portage Avenue traffic. And we already lost a young child in that area due to traffic, trying to get to a recreation center. Now, the families that live in this densely populated area have decided they don't want that anymore. They don't want to cross Portage. They want this field as it is. Leave it to the people there to just the way it is. They have never asked City Hall for anything for that property except to leave them so that we can get the use out of them, the same use that we get all summer long and the good days in the winter. Children are out there continuously. The people that say they have never seen children on that property must be driving at night or on inclement weather of some type, because they're there every day. This is the only piece of land that's suitable for recreation facilities for soccer, football, hockey, or whatever. There's lots of green space on the side of the banks of the Assiniboine River, but that's not suitable for playing games. And that's basically what I have to say. I hope I don't have to come back again.
Sir, is there any questions, Councillor?
Sir, I recognize that it's a green space, but there are no organized sporting activities there. Whatever takes place there are pickup games. It's not It's not used by any league or designated.
No,
anybody responsible. Are you also aware that there's two other playgrounds in the area?
There's tot lots. I'd like to correct you on that. There's two tot lots that are not conducive to play to sports. As a matter of fact,
we'll disagree on that one. But
we have confirmation here from your dad. He wrote that this field was one of the areas that should never be sold for housing.
Okay, is there any further questions at all from either Councillor Norman or Councillor Clement? Thank you very much, sir. Okay, Jamie Chartrand at 364 Gagnon Street.
I'll let you know.
Sure, we'll get you to just come up to the front, ma'am. Otherwise, we can't record your voice for the purpose of the public hearing. So.
Jeannie Shorthan, 364 Gagnon Street. I was just wondering if I could take a quick look at that.
Okay. I'm sorry, look on.
Do you want to
absolutely.
Look at
it? Yeah, okay, for sure.
I didn't see the park, and so I know that he had had it in the original plan.
Okay.
I'm a fairly new resident. I've been there for this October will be 2 years. Mm-hmm. I love the field. I love the park. I'm right on Gagnon Street, so one condo away from the park. I see people use it every day. If I had children, I'd get my rubber boots on there right now and go in the puddles with them. I think it should stay as a park. I know for me being a new resident, if that park leaves, I can't see myself building a family there. I wouldn't have little kids walk down the street by themselves to the other park or to Portage near Portage Avenue where there's another green space. I wouldn't build my family here. So I think that's something to consider. I'm a young person, fairly new to the neighborhood, and I wouldn't consider building a family here with that park on. Where are my kids going to play with their dog? Where are they going to go? That's safe, that I could just look outside and they're there, you know? And that we could just walk down to the river together. It's a shame to see that field go.
You realize there'll still be a pathway to the river.
I realize that. To be honest, though, I've walked down there, and I would like to walk down with the developer myself and see where he proposes this. Yeah, you can say it's going to be like that, but I've heard him come up and speak, and he says several times, oh, there's some tweaking. Well, I wonder for myself, when this plan actually, like, if it is approved, how much tweaking is there going to be after these pictures? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that would suffice. Do you see what I mean? And also, not to mention, when they do the development, I don't want mud and traffic and tractors in front of my property. Like, where are they going to park these? And also, I would also like to see a traffic report that wasn't put out to us. We never got to see anything. I can't believe that 20 new units wouldn't increase the traffic or wouldn't be a problem. It just doesn't seem to sit in my brain that that would not cause a problem or it wouldn't increase. So that's pretty much all I have to say. Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. Next one is Valerie De Beer at 380 St. Charles Street. Would you like to speak, Val?
My name is Valerie De Beer. I live at 388 St. Charles Street. I've lived there for 54 years now. So I've grown up in the area. I go to church there. I've gone to school at the academy from grade 1 to grade 12. My kids have been there. Now my grandchildren are there. My kids have played in that playground, green space. When they took away the ice rink, that was a big mistake because that was used so much for the kids. We need that green space to keep the young families in the area and to attract new families, young families. I'd like to know how much a unit is going to cost. And if that's a 55 plus, I don't see many people here selling their homes and moving in there. You know, like the elderly people, they're staying in their homes in St. Charles Street as long as they can. They're not going to sell their homes and move in there. I mean, if you take the green space away, we're not going to have the young families coming. We will be a 55-plus community without building that. You know, like, we need to keep some green space. And I'd love to see that ice rink come back because it was great in the winter. So you can't keep whittling everything down. It's not a big space of area.
To be fair, ma'am, we are talking about just this development application, so we're not talking about...
I know. Well, I'm in an opposition, and I'm trying to put forth why I would be opposed to that development. I don't, like, we do not need 55 plus. And why would we want side-by-sides? And that's what that is. It's not even a single-family dwelling.
What you're saying, I guess the issue with the applicant before us, beyond the fact that it sounds like you want green spaces, you'd rather see single-family if you're going to see anything.
I don't want anything. But I'm trying to say, even if you put that in there, why would we want that in the community? Like, I don't think anybody wants to see that kind of development anyway. Anything. They don't want to see anything anyway. I don't think there's one person here who will tell you that they would support that anyway. Thank you.
We'll have the applicant, I don't know if you're scribbling down the notes, but I think there was a question.
I think I had heard initially at that second meeting it was something like $230,000,
$250,000. I will get them to address.
That's a lot of money, and I just don't see that happening. No, it's not.
Okay, next person is Janice Ferguson? Or James Ferguson? Sorry about that. And you're at 362 St. Charles, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Before I make the formal presentation I want to make three points relative to what the developer, whose name I forget and I apologize, I'm not good with names these days as I get older.
Neil Hebert.
Neil, made. First of all, I'm one of that group he alluded to with the disingenuous vested interest. Yes, I live in the community, and yes, I have a vested interest in the community. But that's what part of being involved in a community is, to have a vested interest in the community. And that's why I'm here and my family's here. I would add, the developer has a vested interest in this property. That vested interest is profit. And I have no objections to profit, as long as we realize developers are in the business to make money. Secondly, let me correct him. The field that he points out on the south border with the church has trees in it. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the trees were planted by the daycare. And they're planted some time ago. And there are trees on the east side of the property, which haven't grown well, but I think that's part of being on the prairie and the problem of growing trees on the prairie. So there are trees there.
That's in the back of the houses off St. Charles, is what you're saying?
Exactly. And along the fence where the church is and the graveyard is.
Right.
Thirdly, this issue, which is something that's popped up, of a traffic study. I know of nothing about a traffic study done by the city. And this is part of, I think, what the real problem here, and that is the city providing the community and its citizens with information and input and consultation onto this whole process. If there's a traffic study been done, I haven't seen it. I don't know where it is. No one has sent it to me. No one has sent it to the community. I live on the corner of OJ and St. Charles. I know what the traffic is like. There's a school there. It's extremely busy traffic at morning and afternoons when school is coming in and when school is getting out. There's a golf course, which has regular traffic going down OJ during golf season, which roughly runs from May to October. There is the church, which not only on Sundays, but on Saturdays and when services are held, but also in terms of occasions when the church hall is used, that we have traffic going now down there. St. Charles is a major bus route. Oje has a bus that goes down it. I mean, there is a lot of traffic. If you agree to put this ahead, it seems to me there is an issue about how much traffic this is going to bear. That requires a study. If there is a study, I'd like to see it and I'd like to be able to examine it. Unfortunately, I haven't had access to it. And this brings me to the key point of my formal presentation, in that I find it strange that the community has to come here to defend the maintenance of Oblate Field as green space for recreation use of the community, when it is the city which is attempting for the fourth time to alter the status quo. The onus, it seems to me, should be on the city to make a case to the community and its citizens of why we should accept development. Of course, I would suggest to you the city planners and the bureaucrats know full well the views of the community on the field and have opted instead for a process which has been non-transparent and unaccountable to this point. If the city is unable and unwilling to make a case for development in an open and transparent manner, and instead leaves it to the community to guess at its motives, then I don't see how the city can proceed, unless, of course, the idea of an open democratic process and democracy in this city is simply rhetoric by city politicians and bureaucrats. In this regard, when I look at the documents provided by the city on development, the only rationale provided is Plan Winnipeg and the desire to infill surplus space. not only is this whole macro idea questionable at the micro level, but it is ambiguous and open for wide-scale interpretation. There is no explanation provided for the city why it needs to infill this space. As we've already talked about, as has already been mentioned to you, and as best as I'm concerned from my conversation with Councilor Nordman, the origins of this issue stems from a request by the St. Charles Catholic Church for the city to donate land, for the building of a senior citizen's home. I've spoken with the members of the parish council and have been informed that while this field was raised as a possible location for the home, it was rejected partially because of opposition from the rest of the community. And I would emphasize to you, the community is more than St. Charles Catholic Church. It's all the residents in the area, it's the school, it's the golf course, it's the daycare, it's the retreat, it's the trailer park. That is the community as a whole. The only formal proposal they told me that they sent to the city was to develop land on the south side of the church on the riverbank area. And I know that this has been rejected by the city on the basis of Plan Winnipeg and the desires to keep that as green space in the future. Regardless, the church request has become the rationale for justifying what I would call the planner's decades-long desire to develop this field on the grounds that before city land could be donated, the city would have to see if it could be sold. And surprise, surprise, the city proceeds and a buyer is found. In order to find a buyer, the best that I can understand, the land must be declared surplus and transferred from a parks and recreation designation. As far as I am aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, councillors, in a closed-door, in-camera meeting in November 2007, in which the city's case is not disclosed to the community at large, indeed, the community has no idea that the meeting is taking place, the councillor votes to declare Opaque Field open for sale. No consultation takes place with the community, no one solicits the views of the community, and no minutes are made available. The community only finds out the next summer when a for sale sign is placed on the property. In other words, the city presents the local community with a fait accompli. The first time the community gets engaged is when the developer holds a meeting as required by the city on short notice on the evening of the federal election, as was mentioned. Even then, as points out, over 60 members of the community attend on short notice and voice their objections. I did not hear one member of the community in support of development. Even worse, the developer gives us two options, some form of single-family dwellings or a multi-tier condo development, and then ask the members who are there, of the community there, to pick one. No choice is given between single-family dwellings, multi-level condo, or no development. Rather, only two choices are given. He hands out of a forum providing these choices, and despite warnings from most of us in the community that these will be used to demonstrate community support and that no one should fill them out, a small number do so. The results and those of the second meeting do not in any way, I would suggest, demonstrate community support and not are any reasonable measure of support. Yet when I look at the city's documents, they indicate that only half of the residents are not in support of development. Where did the city get this information from? There was no vote at the meetings, and to my knowledge, no city officials present. This brings us to today and the only opportunity for the community.
Oh, she has some water.
It's very dry in here. The only opportunity for the community to have its voice heard. In this regard, I find it interesting that this meeting is taking place here downtown at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. No doubt you will take into the membership, the participation of the community here, a measure of community interest. I do not know how many members of the community are unable to travel downtown at this time, but I do wonder what the actual turnout would have been if we had held this meeting in the community, in the parish hall, for example, St. Charles Church, at a reasonable time when all the community could get together to voice the views for or against. Finally, as best as I'm concerned, the bureaucratic planner case for development is threefold. According to some arbitrary number, the community has, for its size, has more green space than it should. The field is underutilized by the community, and somehow the city needs the money from the sale and the subsequent taxes. As for the first case, I have no doubt that St. Charles is not alone in having too much green space, especially when some arbitrary figure is employed. But why St. Charles is singled out is another question. Perhaps it is seen as easy picking. I would suggest that this is measures employed in many places within Councillor Clements or your constituency, Councillor Fielding, Woodhaven, for example. You would find a lot of places have too much green space according to this measure. But I do not see the city going after those spaces, only St. Charles Oakley Field. Moreover, let's remember, not all green space is created equal. There is no plain-sized field in St. Charles, despite all the green space that exists there, except for the Oblate Field. If it is lost, then the nearest field that children have to go to is several kilometers away at either Assiniboine West Community Center, which is on Buchanan, or Kirkfield Westwood Community Center on Sansom. As for the field being underutilized, I do not know how the city measures use. And as we know, random passes by city officials is not a proper measure of use. I have gone past the Assiniboine West at Buchanan and Kirkfield Westwood at Sansom on many, many occasions at many different times of the day and found the fields empty. Does this mean these are underutilized? Does this mean you should develop them? Of course not. But most importantly, what has the city done to make the field usable by the community? It has not acted on the suggestion that was pointed out by Alec Boyd of the previous councillor, Rick Nordman, to create a usable soccer, football, or baseball field, especially given the shortage of such fields in the city, which we are all aware of. It has done nothing to level and crown the field so it can be used properly. As was pointed out already, we had a skating rink once that was filled with skaters on a daily basis and many times cleared by the members of the community, not the city. Instead of maintaining the rink, it was closed, and instead the only rink allocated to the community, to the constituency of St. Charles, or the broader constituency of Councillor Nordman, is located a couple blocks away from Assiniboine West, where there are two skating rinks.
Just to be clear, sir, I appreciate your passion for this. We are talking about this application before, so...
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
The ice is it's not relevant to make...
I would suggest to you it's very relevant. When you had a skating rink, we used it. You then suggest... The city suggests we're not using this because you pulled the skating rink out. And when we, the community, decided or desired to put our own rink in and maintain it ourselves, the city prohibited us. You put signs up that prohibited us from putting a rink into that field. So if the question is why is the field not utilized, and if that is the case the city planners are making for getting rid of it and developing it, the answer is because the city has not responded to the needs of the community and has not worked to make the field usable. And I would suggest to you this is what this committee should decide. Finally, I don't see how money and taxes is so important to the city to warrant a decision contrary to community interests and desires. If the key is to maintaining the tax freeze, then perhaps the city's tax situation is much worse than I thought it was. Regardless, no one asked the community if we are willing to pay some more taxes for a fully accessible, usable field. And I would suggest that perhaps if you asked us, I think you'd find most of the community willing to pay to support the use of that field. Finally, the developer and others will raise, of course, the principle of not in my backyard. I would like to emphasize that the community over two decades ago did accept development in our backyard. We agreed with the arrangement negotiated by Eric Stephenson in the 1980s for the development of row of houses on St. Charles in return for maintaining the rest of the field. We believe that this settled the issue once and for all. Now the city seeks to renege on its own commitment of over 30 years. In conclusion, the real issue here is about the interests and values of the community and the democratic process. Cities are constructed for citizens and its communities, not for bureaucrats, not for grandiose plan Winnipegs, and not for developers. Councillors are elected to represent the citizens and the community. If one wonders why there is such disillusion with governance and politicians, it is situations such as this one which the community faces, a process which up to date has been non-transparent and unaccountable. I hope that all three of you recognize the real stakes at issue here and vote in favor of the community preserving the historical meeting place of St. Charles Oblate Field and work to facilitate the greater use of that field for the community as a whole. Thank you.
Okay, sir, just for clarification, the traffic study, I will ask the applicant when they do come back to explain the traffic study a little bit more in depth. It sounds like there is some questions. There was the report of this that was put on our public access systems. Again, I believe it was on Friday. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to take a look at the report. The traffic study was...
All I saw was the report that was put on Friday, which has the basic all the information about this meeting and the background from the city. I didn't see anything specific on that website that spoke to a traffic study.
Okay. And just in terms of the public meeting, like it sounds... Did you have an opportunity to go to both of the public meetings that
Yes.
Okay, so you did go to both the public meetings that are there?
There was no public meetings. There was no consultation with the community before this all started.
You're talking in terms of the land?
The fundamental question before it started, when the church raised the issue, which I recognize Councilor Nordman responded to, and I realize why he responded to it, but no one ever then came to the rest of the community and talked to us about it. And when the church parish people did talk to the rest of the community, that's one of the reasons they decided, as far as I understand, that they did not want to go forward with developing Oblate Field.
My final point, I'll ask the councillors if they have a question as well, but just to put on the record, these are tough decisions, not just for the community, but for us as well. So we try and take all the information and make decisions that are in the best interest of our citizens. And we don't take our responsibilities light in that respect. So I know your tone is very strong, you're very passionate about it, but please accept that we're trying to make decisions that are in the best interest of our communities one way or the other. So I just want to put that on the record. Did you have any questions, Councillor Nordman, at all?
No. Mr. Ferguson has been very specific. So.
Councillor Clement, did you have any questions at all?
I'm kind of curious. I know where the site is. It's not... this has come up before, obviously, in other situations with other elected people. Why do you suppose that this land has never been created or zoned park?
It has been zoned park.
It has been.
It has been zoned. It was rezoned out of park in order to put it up for sale.
It was made surplus to parks.
Yes, without any consultation with the community. It was designated a park. There was a dedication ceremony in the mid-1990s where the Archbishop of the Diocese of Winnipeg was there for the dedication, and our councillor at the time.
I just needed to know that it was.
It was Parks and Recreation. In fact, this city is trying to reverse a commitment it already made to the community. And I do recognize you have hard decisions to make. But the key thing is the citizens and the community at issue here.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Ferguson. Laura Ferguson, sure do you wish to speak as well, ma'am? You're at the same address, 362. Okay, good. Assuming your husband and wife.
Hello, my name's Laura Ferguson. I live at 362 St. Charles Street. And yes, I am related to Alec Boyd. I'm his daughter, and he taught me about engaging in civic politics, and I have been engaged in civic politics since I was 17 years old and this field first came up for development. And so it's not something I'm disingenuous about, and I'm quite offended by Mr. Hebert suggesting that our family is somehow disingenuous because we are involved and passionate about our community. I live in St. Charles. I've lived there for over 40 years. I work there. I go to school there. I went to school there. My children have gone to school there. I go to church there. When I moved into this community as a little girl, we moved into a small French-Canadian community with a long history. This community was founded in 1884 by the Oblate missionaries, Father Louis-François Lafleche, who built a chapel to serve the Métis families that lived and hunted in the area, and the church and later the school were central to the formation of the community and therefore cannot be excluded when we talk about our community. The church owned the now-named Oblate Field, and it was used by the church, by the school, and by the neighborhood. In fact, a community well guaranteed that the field became a gathering place. During my time here, that field has housed a baseball diamond, a skating rink, a rudimentary track, and field oval. When it was allowed, we rode snowmobiles there in the winter. We played endlessly in the summers, and always we were under the watchful eye of our parents and neighbors. In 1976, the church was forced to sell the field to cover a huge increase in its property taxes. The community was unwilling to lose its historic field, and it fought to keep it. And the citizens of the community, with the support of Councillor Rick Nordman, successfully fought the rezoning. Councillor Nordman stated that it was the only land in the area suitable for athletic use. In 1980, the land again went up for rezoning, and again the community rallied to save our field. Then Councillor Eric Stephenson brokered a deal which saw the homes that were built on St. Charles, and the balance was sold to the city to be maintained as parkland. It was at that time it was zoned as parks and recreation. We thought our trials were over, but in 1994, our councillor, George Fraser, attempted to have the land declared surplus and sold, and again the community fought back, arguing successfully that though much green space was available along the riverbank, the sloping terrain and the floodplain which housed the public gardens along the river were not a suitable children's recreation area. The field continued to be the only space which would permit athletics under the watchful eye of the neighbors. In 1996, 2 years after that last fight for the field, and in celebration of the 90th anniversary of the Oblate Sisters' service to our community, the field was named Oblate Field. In 2006, the church investigated the possibility of building a seniors facility. One of three proposals suggested building a facility on the west end of the field. This proposal was rejected as they realized the value of the field to the community. Mr. Martial Lafleche, a truly honorable man who has since passed away, led that committee, and he selected the site of the old rectory on the south side of the church, not the field. The petition supporting development of a seniors facility in the summer of 2008 from the church was a misguided attempt by a parishioner to salvage the field in response to seeing a for sale sign placed in the field without any consultation with our community. Mr. Hebert, the developer, has suggested this is a not-in-our-backyard issue, but I would like to point out that Mr. Mendel Meltzer, an attorney for Better Homes applicant in 1978, questioned why there had been no opposition to the expansion of the mobile home park and why we had not protested when the condos were built. And we said then, and we continue to say, that we are not anti-development and we have not objected to the subdivision of any lots and infill housing which has occurred in our neighborhood, but we are opposed to having our historic gathering place lost. The field is the only piece of property that we have fought for as a community to keep. Nearly 30 years ago, my parents, Tina and Alec Boyd, gave up their view, as Mr. Hebert called it, in a deal that was brokered by Mr. Stephenson to preserve the open parkland for this community. This is not a community motivated by vague promises of increased property values. We are motivated to preserve our quality of life in the historic community of St. Charles by keeping the only flat piece of land suitable for athletics under our watchful eyes. The field continues to be used by the neighbors for dog walking, playing, practicing golf, by the local daycare when the playgrounds are unsuitable, for picnics, kite flying, snowman making, fort building. The school uses it as an outdoor play area. The church uses it as overflow parking for large functions and a summer play area for its children's summer program. The golf course has used it for overflow parking for large tournaments. All of these uses have been acceptable in our small and very busy community. Granted, we would like to see it used properly as an athletic field, but the city has failed to do any sort of scheduled upkeep, such as crowning the land, to make this a feasible possibility during the 30-plus years it has held the property on behalf of the citizens. It is a valuable historic shared community place, and it's valuable not only for its uses, but also for its aesthetics. The trees which have been planted by the community over time will create a beautiful shaded space to sit and enjoy the sports being played out in front of them. I also would like to give you a petition that was signed by 200 people in support of the continuation of Oblate Field as parkland. Thank you.
Submitting those?
Yes.
Is there anything more at all, ma'am?
That's it.
You're saying you obviously want to keep this as a
absolutely
green space field. It's not necessarily that the development in terms of what it's going to look like. Your concern is
you don't want development on the field.
Any questions, Councilor Norman, Councilor Clement? Nope. Okay, Robert, thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for the presentation. Robert, is it Persty?
Yeah.
Okay, would you care to speak, sir? And if I could get you once again to speak your name as well as your address into the public record, sir.
My name's Robert Persty, 346 St. Charles Street. I live in one of the row houses that are directly part of the sale that was, I guess, sold in the, I believe my house was made in 1985, so I would be one of the enemies, I guess, of the past, whatever. But
Which you're the second house in or third house in?
I am the second from the corner in off of Auger. Okay. So obviously my backyard, I see the field through my windows. My children, as everyone else has stated, my children have enjoyed the field immensely. You know, I have two sons, and through their growing years, and still today, they will play in that field. You can feel the passion in the room for this field, whereas I don't feel any passion for people for the development. It's nothing against Neil and the development that he's coming. We just don't want that. There's something to be said about you work all day, as you gentlemen do, and everyone in this room, to come home, sit in your backyard, and watch the sunset. Now, you put up houses. Now, it's not going to affect everybody, right? So we have 6-7 houses on our street. You sit in your backyard, and you can watch a sunset. Now, these houses won't be monstrosities like they could be. But once you lose that, it's a small thing. It's a quality of life issue, you know. It's just peaceful. It's quiet. You know, you can hear birds. You can hear everything. So the minute you close all this in, you lose part of the flavor, you know, part of the enjoyment of life. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to move because of it, but a lot has been lost, you know, by the residents with, obviously, the development of my house. But that being said, we also want to maintain what we have. I'm not in favor of development at all. It's just, like I say, it's just a quality of life thing. You know, there's just something about a nice warm summer day and sitting back there till the sun comes down and the breeze is coming through, and it's just, it's beautiful. It really is. And it's an idyllic neighborhood. I've lived there since 1991, and I really couldn't imagine living anywhere else.
So I hear what you're saying. You obviously just don't want the park. It's not necessarily to develop.
No, I think the park would be a wonderful thing. Like what the Fergusons have suggested, if it was developed more as a park land, right, where we could get more usage out of it, then I think that's perfectly fine. I don't think there's going to be any opposition for that. But thank you for your time.
Any questions, Councillor Norman or Councillor Clement? Okay. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you,
sir. Rose Tanner, 342 St. Charles Street. Nothing further to say? If you feel free to just say that you're not in support of it, if there's something more you want to add. But, great. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. We'll register. Frank, is it Tanner? Yeah. You're at 427 Gagnon. Broken ankle. My wife
off a roof 4 months ago. Not that I'm trying to here to sell you a Star Choice or anything, because that's what I do.
Once again, if you could just say your name and your address for record, please, sir.
My name is Frank Stephen Tengerty. I live at 427 Gagnon Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. R3K, 1 Victor 8, just in case. Anyway, just to mention, I've lived there since 1998, so coming on to 10 and a half years. And just to mention, the home that we're in was developed by a home builder that we looked for, and it was infill. It was a land that was owned by a lady that she was one of the first people in that whole area. So where we live, they deal about four houses. So that's understandable because that was between houses. In regard to this new area that they're trying to develop, as much as it's a great idea, etc., that I've seen from hearing that the plan has already changed three or four times, so it's like the person's not even sure what they want to do, number one. So you got to consider that objective. Number two, I don't personally go to the playground, but I have children. And like all of you counselors, when you have children, you want to do the best for your children. That's why we're all here, I believe. We are trying to support our children so that they can proceed and have fun in their playground. If you consider all the different mobile homes there are, what kind of playground can you have in a mobile home residence? You can run 3 feet, 10 feet, or can you go into this field and enjoy yourself? The only problem is, again, they took away the skating. I would hope that the city councilors would consider to potentially reestablish that so that they know that everyone in the community is getting full value of this green earth, green park, whatever you want to call it, and getting it used to its full capacity. In everything in life, we want to make sure we can utilize everything to its best. And right now, to take it away, unfortunately, they're still using it, but they can't use it to the same capacity because now they're being penalized if they try to modify it to be what it used to be. And as well, unfortunately, I can understand they do want to build a home, which I'm opposed to because you're going to ask me. But I really hope we keep this as a green space because not only is it a green space, but the world itself is trying to promote green energy and green, keep the world green. You develop on here, you're taking that away. You're taking away our kids' futures to grow and develop to be bright young people that have sports instead of just playing video games, etc. And in most of those homes, there's not a whole lot of yards that they can play in and run around in. You can't play baseball in your yard. You can't do anything without doing some sort of damage. Here they have the flexibility to do positive things. And as well, the one thing I would like to mention is we are here to voice our opinion. And I know that you're going to make a decision based on this if they're going to develop or not. But the one thing that I do understand, and I talked to Mr. Norman today, is the reason that we're here to voice our opinion is because the councilors have to make that decision, but they're supposed to be there to represent us. So you should be making a decision based on what we want, what's best in our interest, not necessarily what must be best in the pocketbooks of the government. It's excess land. If we grab the money, we can make money, and then we're going to get all this property tax money. We have to look at the best results for us, the people. And we, the people, have spoken saying we don't want it. So please listen. Thank you. Any questions?
That's my line.
This is yours.
Any questions? Well, I knew you were going to say that. So.
No, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you for your time.
I have Brock Wright and Maureen Wright registered to speak. I'm not sure if you're planning to speak or come on together. Did you want to go together? Did you want to go individually? Yeah. Okay, if I could ask you to say your name and you're on Grenfell, is that?
On Grenfell in Tuxedo.
Clements area.
Hi.
Have a seat there.
Hi, my name is Maureen Wright, and I'm reading a statement on behalf of myself and Kathy Helms. We are the directors of Academy Kids Daycare, and I have been for 25 years. She's probably more like 10. I'm opposed to the development of Oblate Field. This space is used by our daycare whenever weather permits. Now, this winter, not so much. It was very cold, but on the few days we could get outside, there were snowmen there, there was a fort, and there are lots of tracks, and angel wings. The kids do use that field. In a push to balance an electronics-obsessed age, there is a movement to create natural play spaces where children can discover real life with bugs, birds, muds, and prairie grasses. Oblate Field has provided us with this natural playground. situated on virgin prairie with a few trees, which we planted. This field is a great exploration ground safely away from the river's edge, without distractions of metal climbers where children get many injuries. What others are trying to artificially create, we already have. Daycares are much more interesting places when children don't have to be kept in institutional settings to avoid a construction which could be in our future. I hope you will keep this in mind, the value this field has to the larger community. And that's all I have to say. Did you have questions?
Yeah, the daycare is within the school area?
It's in the school, but yeah. We are a nonprofit organization funded by the government.
And you're not allowed to use the schoolyard behind?
Well, you can use it, but I mean, to get there is a 5-minute walk. And what we encourage is the children to move about freely in their communities so that they're not always being, you know, there is a playground in the school. We
right.
do use that.
Yeah.
We use it at pickup time, but during the day we wander the streets. I'm sure many in the community have seen us wandering the streets, walking, trying to get exercise for the kids. That will be greatly impeded if there is a lot of big bulldozers, tractors, all kinds of trucks going up and down the roads for the next God knows how long during this construction time, if this goes through. So, yes, we do use our legs. We do walk around. We do want the kids to get fit, so we do leave the building.
Any questions, Councilor? Thank you for your presentation, ma'am. Okay, next presenter, is it... Did you want to say something?
Yeah, when I was in the daycare, like my mom said, we used to go over there and... track and field days there, and if the school playground is too crowded, then our teacher takes over it. And I go to my cousin's house every weekend because it's right across from the church, and we go and play there out there regularly. So.
Next presenter is Rochelle. Is it Tenderney? Yes. Would you like to make a presentation, ma'am? Okay. Once again, if I could ask you to just say your name and your address.
I get my name, I guess.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Rochelle Tingerty at 427 Gannon Street. I didn't come prepared. I didn't realize it was going to be so formal. This is my first time at it. So I'm going to speak from my heart. I have two children. I have a daughter that's 14 and the son that's sitting over there, and he is going to be 8. He also went to the daycare that was just mentioned, and that's one of the reasons I wanted him in that daycare, because they do provide a lot of outdoor activities, and that is one of the areas they do go. They do make snowman. They do, you know, make the angels in the field. When we purchased the property that we built our home on, that was one of the things that appealed to me, because I also went to St. Charles Academy as a student. I was so pleased the field was there because I hadn't been around there for a while. My children, it's an automatic thing. We go out there. We have picnics, fall walks. We like to go for our walks out there. We have 3 dogs. Our property is only so large, being city property. If we want to play volleyball or badminton or anything like that, that is where we go. You had mentioned earlier when I had spoke to you today about the other park on Gannon Street. That is restricted for sports, as in for running, for soccer, because it's, I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's a cement pad for the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a beautiful, we just got it, a couple years ago, play center for the, yeah, and the kids really enjoy that. But again, as the kids are getting older, that's not what they want. They just want rooms where they can run and enjoy. So it's very hilly. I don't know if you've been to the back of it. There's no way you can play baseball. You can't set up a diamond there. Even if you want to run around flying your kite, it's a little dangerous because, again, it's very hilly. The park down the street, I call it a park, you always see. When you mentioned to me that they took a survey and you said that they don't see anybody there, what is your procedure to take the survey? Like you had mentioned that to me on the phone. Can I ask you that question? Can you answer that?
To be fair, ma'am, it's our opportunity to ask you questions on it.
I can't ask. Okay. Because my other question was, because again, this is my first time, I don't understand how the proceedings just changed from this area is an area that is said zoned for park and recreation, and then to be driving down the street to take my kids down there to see a sign that says for sale. That's where I don't understand the proceedings, why it just could turn from one thing that they had fought for and just all of a sudden flip it over. Where is ours when it was going up for discussion to talk? I don't understand where were the people that we vote in to represent us on council to say, well, wait a minute, this has come up before, the residents have spoken before, they won their case before, let it rest, move on. It's not the developer. He drove by like I did and saw for sale. What's he going to do? He's going to inquire. But the initial concern is, why did it go up for sale? Who and why was it taken away from us? Who made the decision to take this away from us? Who brought it on the table? They mentioned that the church wanted to buy it for a dollar. That's what did it? That one comment could do something and flip something?
Well, no, there was certainly a request made in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was explored, and before the city could donate the property for a dollar, we had to see if it had any commercial value, and that's when the sign went up.
So that's how the whole ball. So in that regards, then, if somebody just makes, you know, if I go down the street and I see a park, I can just say that I'm interested in it to buy it for a buck, and then all this comes up to park? Like, it's just so difficult to understand that it's zoned in one area, it's given to you, we obviously appreciate it. You can see that, each and every one of us, for whatever reason. I've woke my kids up at 2 o'clock in the morning because there were deer in the park. I did that. Yes, it was not a school night, it was on the summer holidays. But this is such a beautiful area. The gentleman mentioned listening to the birds, watching the sunsets. Like, we can actually get out there, walk down the street, and enjoy a piece of the land. For my children, if my kids, my older daughter, she wants to play with a group of friends, the yard's a bit too small, I feel very safe in letting her go down there. The one right on Portage, excuse me, it's right on Portage. To go on the other side of the church, that's too close to the river. I will not allow my children there. But that area there is so valuable that I can say to my kids, yes, go there, have fun. Make your snowman, do whatever you want. And I know the community is there for them. The other concern is traffic. There is no way you can tell me that if they put that development, houses, whatever the case may be, you can't tell me it's not going to affect the traffic. It's impossible not to. These people are going to be living there. Most families have two cars. Most family seniors have grandchildren that can drive now, or they have, you know, friends that come over to visit. There is definitely going to be an increase on the traffic. Gannon already, you mentioned St. Charles Street. Gannon Street gets its fair share of traffic as well. And my kids, again, I don't want them playing on the road, the badminton or the volleyball. I send them down to the park because Gannon is busy enough. So at least on the park, I know they're off the street and they can have their fun. I really feel that you're going to, again, I believe with my simple mind that you are to represent the people. And I believe your job is to say, it's quite obvious, they don't want anything there. They don't want to see a bigger trailer park, because the trailer park people love it too. They do not want to see condos. They don't want to see houses. They don't want to see anything up there, except possibly if the government could see to put a rink up again. But other than that, even if without the rink, the property is still used. And I know I'm not allowed to ask questions, but I'm still wondering who did the survey, when did they do the survey to say it's never used? Because it's mind-boggling. When you said that to me this afternoon on the phone, it's never used? I wasn't going to argue the point, because I assumed that it's going to be a very structured study to say this is why. And yet, I don't know. Is there a structure? Like, is there a city employee that sits there and documents? Like, I don't know how you did the survey, but without a shadow of a doubt, the park is used. And I know, like I said, speaking for the community, it is appreciated. I feel you would definitely, again, as having children, you're taking that away. For our homes in that area, it's a small area. You put your home up for sale. Okay, well, what do you have to offer besides your house on this lot? Well, down the street, we have a beautiful park. You can take your children, have a picnic, fly a kite, have a good time. You take that away from us, you're going to say, okay, well, we have that one on Gannon Street. There, we need more, again, to get the kids out and have a good time. And our community do take advantage of it, and we appreciate that land. And we would appreciate if you would hear our concerns. Don't make a decision on just the paper. Make a decision that this is a community, this is families, this is where we're growing up. And like our kids are growing up, and they need to know that there's a place out there that they can play and run around that is safe. Not too close to the river, and not that green land that's right on Portage Avenue there by Portage, a busy street. We can't. You're probably looking to see which one I'm talking about?
Well, the one off Allard?
Yeah. Yeah, because at the first meeting,
we need presentations up here.
So. At the first meeting, that was brought up, that's a piece of land. It's like, yeah, who in the right mind is going to send their kid out there with a ball and say, go have fun? It isn't going to be me, and I'm sure it's not going to be a lot of other people. So again, with the wildlife around there coming up from the river, with the people going out there and enjoying it, you can't, and I beg you guys to really think about it, you can't take it away from us. It's not fair, because it was ours to begin with. It was designated as park zone. It was given to us for that. That's all.
Any questions for Councillor Clement or Councillor Darden?
I'm glad she didn't come prepared.
Could you imagine? The wife would phone you again. The wife would be phoning you.
We will have the applicant address the traffic.
The traffic? Okay. Is there any? I can't ask questions, can I?
No,
I'm so curious. Has there been a study? I'm not wanting to corner anybody, but in regards to not being used, that came as a total shock to me because it is so valuable. And, you know, like, has there actually been? Oh, this is my son, Devin.
Now he's going to give you a piece of his mind.
No, he's not.
No, he's not listed.
No. Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
No minors.
Okay, next one is Alan Wood. Alan? Sure.
My name is Alan Wood, and I live at number 21480 Auger. Some of the things I say at the very beginning may not seem relevant, but there is relevancy when you think about them. When I was a boy, I grew up in the Crescentwood area. I went to Rockwood School. Behind that school was a large playground where we played school and after-school sports. When I was a little older, I would spend hours after school and on weekends at the Crescentwood Community Center, playing hockey, learning how to play baseball and football in the huge green space attached to the community center. Four blocks away on Cordon Avenue was a school and the River Heights Community Center. There was also a hockey arena backing onto Kingsway and also a huge field for kids to play baseball and run around for exercise. This space was also used by the school. I went to Churchill High School that had sports field larger than O'Blake Park. Three blocks away was a Riverview Community Center with a large field for kids to run around and play. There were also many smaller parks and playgrounds in the area. A few years later, my family moved to what is now the Osborne Village area. I coached some kids down there playing hockey at Fort Rouge Park. It had two skating rinks on the riverbank with a large treed green space facing River Avenue. The people in the area would sit on the park benches with their children, some with their dogs, have a picnic, and visit with their neighbors. Some years later, three blocks to the east, there was another park created with tennis facilities, a basketball court, and a hockey rink for the winter. I am mentioning all these parks and recreation areas because they existed in the 1950s and they exist today. There are so many parks in the city with large green spaces and areas for children and adults alike to ride their bikes, rollerblade, or have a barbecue with their family and friends, to enjoy both summer and winter activities as well as getting some exercise. Areas like Assiniboine Park, St. Vital Park, Crescent Park, and Kilgonan Park, just to name a few, These parks cost taxpayers hundreds and thousands of dollars a year to maintain and police. However, the city also has hundreds of smaller parks and playgrounds that cost very little to maintain, only needing the grass cut. We don't begrudge the money spent to maintain any of these green spaces. We think they are all of great value for the city of Winnipeg and their citizens. Piazzas, if you will, places where people in the community meet. We are not asking that Oblate Park have all the facilities that many other of the parks enjoy, but maybe a softball diamond, and perhaps some trees, some tables and benches, and a skating rink for the winter that children and adults can play and enjoy. This little green space, Oblate Park, has been here for many years. Taxpayers, present and future, deserve this park, and as you have heard, are extremely agitated about the plan the city has to sell off this precious space, put money in the coffers. Just one more thing, and I will sit down, is what it says here, but I will stand up. Who will benefit from the sale of this space if this space passes? Certainly the city, with more money in general revenue. The developer will certainly have a large return on this profit and move on. There may be a few jobs created, but only a few, and they'll be short-term jobs. Who are the losers? The people in this community who have enjoyed this space for years. The children who fly their kites, throw their frisbees, and have a pickup soccer game. The seniors who are there a lot in the area, who walk their dogs and visit with another. And I guarantee you, you people, you'll feel much better saving this park instead of destroying it. And if you have any questions, I'll ask your question or answer if I have the right answers.
Questions, Councilor Urban, Councilor Clement? Thank you for your thank you for your presentation, sir.
You're welcome.
I believe I've called the last three out, but I'll just make sure again. It's Alfred. Sorry, I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I think I called you before at 437 Auger or Susanna.
Yes,
you just want to register. Okay. And the last one is Henry, I believe I called you as well. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? There is, ma'am. One more. Okay. Are you registered to speak, ma'am?
No, I didn't fill out a form.
Okay, we're going to have to need you. Sorry? Okay, we'll get you to fill out a form after presentation.
I'm not really coming with
a position. If I can get you just to state your name and your address for the record, ma'am.
It's Patricia Fitzmaurice. My address is on Hamilton Avenue. I'm not part of that community. I am the facilitator of the parish council at St. Charles Church, and I'm not coming here with a position from the church. But I did give him comments, wanted to make some clarification of some supposed facts that are being put forward about the church's involvement in this thing. The church has wanted to build an affordable living home for seniors in around the area of the church. And we have canvassed it with different counselors in the past. The plans are still in the very working stages. The committee that had canvassed it with George Fraser earlier, and I think, I don't know if they ever actually canvassed it with Mr. Nordman or not, but...
I saw blueprints on the hood of a car.
So you say. They were very rudimentary, very in the starts. But one of the main things that had to come was they had to have land in which to even start to build. And obviously any plans would be formalized once the property was obtained. And we sought from the city property proposing the dollar value. That was left there, but we never sought a specific property. It was left as a proposition put forward. The city never got back to the church as to whether or not they were considering it, and Mr. Nordman and I had a conversation with respect to this, and he mentioned that, and this was after the property was put up for sale, put up in July to be sold, I think offers were closed in August, that I mentioned to Mr. Nordman that this was a surprise to the church. Why had this not come up to the church beforehand, that the property was even being sold? Mr. Nordman replied that it was being sold so that a value could be obtained for the property. With respect, and I advised Mr. Nordman at the time, there are other ways to get a value for property than putting it up for sale. We have a great many qualified professional appraisers who could have given very realistic values for that property rather than putting it up for sale. I was then later subsequently told by the city planning department that, in fact, the property had gone through council and the two-thirds vote for council had made it surplus land some 6 months prior to it being put up for sale. Again, the church, who had been in contact with city council and the city councilors for the area, were never told that the property was being considered for surplus land. And again, caught the church unawares. And then again, you're looking at a month and a half in order for anyone to come up with the funding for these offers to purchase. So I just wanted to make it clear that this isn't some nefarious plan put together by the church behind that started this ball rolling. We were as much caught by surprise as
the... I appreciate the comment. I do want to just reiterate that we are dealing with the application before, so we can't deal on other items that, you know, there were some discussions on before. The application before us is what we're
doing.
Well,
it comes into comment about the openness of the procedure, which unfortunately I know legally you don't have to give notice.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying if you could guide your comments towards the development that is before us, because that is the decision that we are making here.
Okay, your development, though, is changing from park to something else. This is part. This is relevant. When we're discussing why this should be parkland or how it came to be parkland or what the facts are being presented to council, I think council would want to have an accurate portrayal of the facts. And when you're dealing all this, I mean, you've made that relevancy comment prior. All these people have made relevant comments as to why this should be parkland, which is still a key element of whether or not this development goes through, because you do have to rezone it still from park into some kind of residential property. And Mr. Hebert, I think, made the threat of the expropriation argument before. This isn't the case. This has always been a purchase that is subject to a rezoning, and which is why the people here are discussing the rezoning and deserve to be heard with respect to whether or not this should be kept as a park or kept as residential. Those are my comments.
Okay, is there any questions or comments from Councillor Clement or Councillor Nordman? Okay, at this point, what we'll do, I'm going to take, if we could just adjourn for 2 minutes, I'm going to take a bio break, and we'll call the applicant back. I hope you've taken some notes down on some of the concerns that our residents have, and we'll go from there, so why don't you just take a couple minutes. Okay, we'll call this meeting back to order. Mr. Heater, to the room.
Oh, that's where I messed up.
Yeah. He was here. I saw him walk by.
Carlos, you want to take a look and see if he's up home? You'll be okay, Phil.
What?
I didn't drive there yet. I'm supposed to speak at Stark Mobile at 7:30.
That's why it was a stamp, because it was the variance.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thanks, Carlos.
No, it's H5 and 36.
Start right there. 1, 2. Next batch.
Okay, Mr. Hebert, now there's been a number of questions, concerns from the residents that have come up. I hope you were able to take some notes down, and if you'd like to address any of the concerns that were brought up, now's your time to do it.
Okay. I'll kind of hit the ones that I've got jotted down. For something that you guys think is germane that I've missed, you can obviously ask me a question. In regards to the original meetings, there was a comment made early on that there was mass opposition. I did hand out these forms, which were filled out. The vote count as far as for and against was 17-9 in our original meeting. In fairness to that number, the Fergusons and the Boyds and some of their contingent were convinced that, any vote yes or no would be put in a yes pile and didn't fill out. So, that number realistically probably would have been 4 or 5 higher on the against pile. But it was still, I would believe, in favor four. I dealt with about another 10 people versus, phone and emails after that. Once most of them were related to just getting some information about the project and what was going in, and the biggest concerns amongst that group was that something multi-level didn't get built. Once they found out that it was sort of bungalow style project, I think there was a 7-3 count by my records as far as people for it and against it there, and I've had subsequent people seeing the plans that live in the area that have expressed interest in purchasing one. So if anybody wants to see the forms I did circulate and how they were filled out, I've certainly got a copy of those here. The other question, I guess, that arose was the traffic report. I'll get to it in the report that I'm assuming Noah did here. The traffic report was performed by the Triple M group. There was no traffic assessment, impact assessment required by Public Works. Quite honestly, it's just too small of a development in their eyes that it's going to have a significant impact. But, again, in conjunction with the planner, he thought it would be good that we kind of, dot the I's and cross the T's and get everything we need there. So we did do a traffic report, which essentially said, the vehicle trips weren't significant, particularly in light of it being 55-plus. You don't have people going to work. You generally don't have kids living at home still. Probably the least amount of trips from a typical development is generated by something 55-plus. Obviously, if you had two working parents and two teenagers driving, that would generate a lot more trips than a couple people that are retired and tend to travel together and that type of thing. So certainly, I've made the traffic report available. I do not have my copy here, but no one might have one. I think it's probably available if anybody wants it. But, again, it's not particularly interesting reading, but certainly for anybody who thinks that there's something there that should be looked at, it's I would have no problem providing it to anybody. In regards to the comments, I made one comment that, suggested that maybe people weren't had some mixed motives, and I'll just summarize those ones quickly. Obviously 362 St. Charles with the Boyds and Mr. and Mrs. Ferguson being out of there, and also Valerie, I forget her last name, and I apologize for that, and even the last lady there, they're all connected with the church. And the church made the original application. I think if the church got that piece of property, you probably wouldn't see quite as vocal an opposition to this.
If I could have your, we have presentations have closed. We do want to make sure we hear back.
Okay,
back.
Do we get a?
No, you don't.
Well, how can
no,
we?
No, sir, we can call to order here. We do have our application. The procedures are that we hear from the applicant, we hear from opposition. People that are opposed to it, and then we do hear the applicant is able to retort just in terms of.
So, again, I feel that, the employees of the daycare, affiliated with the church, there's certainly somewhat of a vested interest there. As far as the people who are concerned,
ma'am, it's in the school.
Would you please deal with the application instead of getting into personalities?
Sure.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Okay, that's fine. As far as the parkland goes, again, we've heard about the other parks in the area. 385 feet away from this park is another park that's been refurbished, nice for most purposes, so I really don't know what the merits are to that argument.
Ma'am, please, if we could hear from the applicant.
As far as the rest of the discussions go, You know, there's some people with kids that that say they use the field. I've personally never seen on it. The lady in support who lives right beside it says she sees kids drinking on it more than she sees kids playing on it. She's been there for 39 years. I don't live right beside it. Helen, would you
continue on? You're dealing with the committee here.
So I can't speak to how much it gets used. I mean, I drive by it a lot since we've made the offer to purchase on it. I've gone by it probably 7,500 times. I don't see a lot of people on it. In fact, never have. But I don't live in the area. I'm not looking at it every day, 24 hours a day. So I can't really comment on any of those arguments. So. I've never seen anybody.
Ma'am, could I please ask that we have some order here? We're listening to the applicant. We have had an opportunity for people that are in opposition to speak to this. So we do, you know, we're having the applicant to address any issues that were brought up at this point. He's addressing the issue to us who are making the decision here. Could you call us? Continue on, sir.
So, you know, beyond that, you know, I know there's an applicant that was in opposition that lives by the park on Overdale. I'm not sure how that's relevant. I think I've addressed, you know, most of the concerns. If you have any other questions that that you think need to be answered, I'll certainly do my best to do so now.
Councillor Nordman, do you have any questions?
In the event that the application is approved, what is your time frame for shovels in the ground and the duration of the construction of the project?
Well, honestly, ideally, you know, we'd like to get this wrapped up as soon as possible. It's somewhat determined by how well and how fast we can market it. From the feedback we've got so far, it certainly seems very positive. I've got many people that live in the neighborhood, and, you know, by many, I'll say a half a dozen or so, that said, what's the cost going to be? What's the style? Can I see the floor plans? You know, I'd be interested in living in somewhere like that. So we're optimistic that we can market it quickly. If we can market it quickly, you know, hopefully 18 months, worst case scenario, you know, hopefully 2 years, we can get everything, you know, constructed and turned around.
Thank you. The piece of infrastructure that you're going to have to deal with, the underground, if you will, you're very comfortable with that. You're familiar with the request by the city. That's going to be your responsibility. Under our supervision.
Yeah, as far as the sewer and water you're talking, I've had conversations with the, you know, with the water and waste. Water, and again, Noah's been a big help here. He's referred me some people that we've had some conversations as far as water flow. It's not, we're at kind of the end of a line. It's not ideal pressure, but with certain building material concessions to make the homes or the condominiums a little more flame retardant, we can kind of get into the zone we need to be at. There's obviously homes that are there, so I mean, it's not like we're miles off the mark, but just some minor tweaking to get there. As far as sewer goes, water and waste is pretty non-committal until you bring them something that's an absolute approved plan. They have given me some guidelines on what they kind of foresee that I would have to do, and nothing that looks like it would be, you know, would be undoable. But you know, until we had something that was concrete, they're not going to speculate on you know, conjecture.
Sir, no, sir, your presentations have closed, so yeah, it is not. Sir, if I could get to the clerk to, I guess, explain the procedure guidelines, but really it's an opportunity, the applicant has an opportunity to make their presentation. There's a time for people to give your point of view as well, and the applicant is able to, and that's what our bylaws say. If you want to add to something to that.
That's pretty clear. That's the process for the public hearings, is that the applicant comes forward. Like I said at the beginning, the applicant comes forward, states their application. Anybody that wants to come and speak and state their concerns, they have an opportunity to do so. And then the applicant has an opportunity to try and address those concerns. And then a committee's made. Please. I'm trying to explain the process, sir. The question was asked. I'm trying to explain the process. And then that's the process that we have, and then a decision is made on the application. Sorry.
Is there any other questions for the applicant, Councillor Clement?
No, I don't have any questions. No, I worry
about. Okay, well, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
And are you ready to?
Yeah, I guess we are. I'd like to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye. I'd also like to move that the receipt of public presentations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.